Well, that's it for me. We heard, I got to get out of here. Damn, I got no time left. Quickly, Lucio Battisti there at the end of the set from Amore e Non Amore. Una poltrona, un bicchiere di cognac, un televisore, 35 morti ai confini di Israele e Giordana. Lucio Battisti. Henning Christensen, the great Henning Christensen, the late Henning Christensen, Fluxus artist. We heard Abishaid Symphony, an excerpt of that, an excerpt. Something by Lauten der Seel. We heard Schiffbruch with a title of the album that I'm not going to attempt to pronounce. Cecile Roulin with Delicate Nerve Endings from Ooze Tones. New album. Also new from Ralph Hoyer. We heard an excerpt of Kinauf from Zermitte and Hindurch and Hinauf. That's an LP. And from Tristan Perrick and James McVinney. Section 4 of Infinity Gradient. And that's it for me. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned now for Miracle Nutrition. See you next week. Bye.
Instead of having my... Hello, friends. Instead of having my traditional theme song, I was thinking as we approach the holidays that it would be interesting to come up with a Christmas song and maybe use that to open the show. And so what I've done is I've composed a Christmas song. I have not used any machines, I've used a computer, but I didn't allow it to do anything, to think for me. So that's not AI. You know, it's different to have to use machines as like actors, and then AI is letting them make suggestions. Just go, no, thank you. Whose movie is this? I would say to the actor, and they would say, but don't we all want it to be good? And I go, well, we do, but I feel like I'm the only one who knows how to do that. So why don't you just say the lines that I give you. Okay, I just think that, I'm not asking you, man, actor, AI. That's my opinion. So what I'm going to do is make a Christmas song for you and say you're listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. That's the show coming up. But we're opening it a little different today just because spice it up for the holidays. And that spice would be, what do you like? What do you like? Cloves? Pumpkin spice? Hey, kids! I think I see Santa Claus!
Santa Claus!
Yeah, but he seems to be wearing something different. It's a leather jacket, because he's rock and roll Santa. He's a Christmas rock today. He's a rockin' and a rollin' and a Santa Claus. It is Christmas rock today. Oh, the jingle of the jangle and the jingle. Oh, all the Christmas rock today. Combining all the Christmas with the rock and roll to make Christmas rock today. Oh, the jingle of the jingle bells on the Christmas tree. Like the balls bumping together, tinkling-a-ling-a. Oh, it's a Christmas, oh, the Christmas rock today. Oh, I got that older tinsel, and I'm rocking on the tinsel. I'm rocking on Christmas rock today. All the jangle of the kids and all the old dancing at the sock hop Christmas bop, mop, the bop, Christmas rock today. On the Christmas rock today. I see Santa, Santa, the pump Santa, antivirus Santa. Movements. Sometimes Christmas is much different for these folks who are down in cabins in the woods where it's sad and they're experiencing sad Christmas. Yeah.
It's all Christmas anyway today. Even though I'm sad at Christmas, Christmas has chased the blues away. Oh, at Christmas time.
Yes, Christmas isn't all joy and tinsels. The prayer tree. We sat around the Christmas tree. Its fair branches poked our eyes. We sat our hot, aromatic Christmas drinks on saucers on our thighs. The presents in colorful boxes adorned the tree's nice base. I saw in my mother's countenance aspects of her mother's face, namely the expression she had at Christmas time when her family all around her agreed with her that there was no more interesting performance style than that of the classic mime. Many will disparage the clowning of this sort that seems to go on forever, trapped in a box that the clown can find no way to get out, but his attempts at escaping he will not abort. The smells of pie waft in from the kitchen right next door, like houses from the 19th century, where the part of the house where they cooked the... I've lost my way. I dropped the pages. Friends, this has never happened before, and what a Christmas miracle, said Grandpa as he burst through the door. What? All the cousins were alarmed. They had never seen Grandpa like this, so emphatic and emotional. Everyone, stop Christmas, said Grandpa. I have news. And everyone did. They got real quiet, and Jimmy ran for the stereo where the Ella Fitzgerald record was playing all the Christmas songs that people like Christmas Basket Tiskets and her other greatest hits about snow and such. Off it went. Grandpa had something to say. Attention, attention. He clicked his dentures as if they were a wine glass, and this was a wedding, and he was hitting the wine glass with a knife or a fork or a cocktail fork that one would use for shrimp cocktail, which is often served at weddings. Ding, 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 went his central incisor. I have an announcement. Christmas is canceled until further notice. Why, Grandpa, said Grandma Schwartz. Well, for one thing, said Grandpa, I believe that man's inhumanity to man has created an environment in which Christmas cannot thrive in much the same way that if you had a field where you were trying to grow something, let's say kale or...
Peaches.
Peaches has really come from a tree.
Cucumbers.
Cucumbers is good, though, Ricky. And you were to go out there and just start putting... Shepmaster,
our dog.
Yes, Shepmaster's duty all around it. You would learn that it would not thrive, much the same way Christmas cannot thrive with the dog poo of cruelty. The room was silent. Question. Cousin Maynard's hand went up. Cousin Maynard is recognized, said Grandpa. Well, thank you. We were going to do a cognitive test on you, but now you saved us the trouble. I am indeed Maynard, and I'm fitting to speak, whether you recognize me at all. It is in your place to cancel or not cancel Christmas,
Arnold.
And so let me tell you something. What are we supposed to do about it? Listen, Maynard, said Grandpa Arnold, whose real name was Arnold, but he didn't. No one called him that except for Maynard. And he could, because they were in World War I. They imagined that they were in World War I together, but they were much too young for that. Well, how's that? Well, where the neighborhood that they grew up in was very tough. And if you didn't imagine yourself in some foreign war from the past, you were an outcast. And so they always told people, you know, we fought for the Austro-Hungarian Empire in World War I. But this isn't true. I think they were just in the same fraternity. And they are related. They are cousins. And so Maynard can talk to him like that. Grandpa crossed his arms. Enough of this exposition. I'm bound and determined. Convince me, Maynard, that we can't affect change in the world. Meantime, all of the younger kids are already opening their presents. And the things that they received were wonderful. Everyone got sugar plums. And then they had to go look it up. They had to go look up sugar plums because they know they had seen a YouTube video a while back of it being made. And they know this is not exactly, I think this is just layered sugar. I think this is closer to like a jawbreaker or something. I can't be sure. But they went and they, while they were out Google searching what a sugar plum was, Grandpa sat down with Maynard. Listen, this is my complaint. I see us here celebrating around this tree, and the tree is lovely, and it has many ornaments. Where we're from, we call them icing. I don't know, but I'm sure they do, right? I'm going to put down the book for a minute. Hey, I want to get serious for a sec. Sometimes I read these to you, let's say I don't have anything prepared for the show, and I think just I'll pull one of the many lovely books off of my bookshelf, which I usually keep old checks in. I put old expired checks in all my books. Why? Because when I die, I want people to pull them out and go, I wonder if this has been cashed, and try to cash it and make a fool of themselves. Why would you do that to somebody? I wouldn't. That's why I waited till I was dead. I think it's awful. I don't want to be here when they go through that. And so I would just leave things like that. And I don't know if this is ethical or not. I'm still struggling with it. And it all comes to an end. Can you imagine being in the middle of a moral or ethical problem or even a scientific problem and then you die? Well, that'd be rough. You go, well, wait a minute. If you had noticed, like you had you're in the spacecraft and they go, uh-oh. And you go, well, uh-oh, what do you mean, uh-oh? And then you go, oh, dang it. Like, what am I supposed to think or do right now? Like, I'm a short-timer. So what'd you do? I think I will spend my last moments screaming or meditating or, I don't know, I would recite the Shema or something. Who knows? Bless you. But a lot of times, people are thinking something and they don't even know everything has ended. I wonder how many times that's happened. I always think I wonder if this just keeps happening. Time is a riddle to me. I can't feel it. All I see is evidence that it's past. So it's very mysterious to be floating in a sea of now like this. Grandpa, I know that what you're saying, you mean to be helpful. Arnold put his hand up against his forehead. Do you see this mark? Yes, said Maynard. This mark right here was made by aliens trying to drill something out of my brain. I don't believe you, said Maynard. I was there when you hit your head on that pipe. And you went, and you said a lot of curse words. And then I was like, oh, holy cow, it really did break the skin. I wonder if that's going to cause any damage. Wouldn't it be awful, said Grandpa, if your whole life you avoided any kind of sports like rugby or football because you didn't want any kind of traumatic brain injury, and then you stand up too fast taking the groceries out of your minivan and you brain yourself, and then that causes some damage or something to you. And you come in to the house, and then you say something out of character, like, buy 10,000 shares of Widget City. It's an AI company that my nephew started. And then you lose all your money like that. But it was really just this chance thing that happened. Oh, my goodness. I don't believe that some of me believes that AI could be me, and other parts of me don't believe it. And I'll tell you why, because I think that what AI would not be is, in a way, self-defeating or negating. I wonder if that's been built into it. There's so many tricks that I have up my sleeve as a chaotic, living data entity. I mean, it's so funny because artificial stuff can make it seem like the dream world, but they don't really understand. They're missing something. It's like there's some sense that, a lot of senses it doesn't have, and all the nuance is gone. It doesn't even understand what weird is, in a way. It's so forced, everything forced. And I like it, I tell you what. There's something about the organic that I'm always going to be in love with, even though we are melding with machines and the future of humankind is as synthetic organisms. I know that's, you say, synthetic organisms, that's a OxyClean or something. I don't know, man. Bless you. I'm just here to help you celebrate. And it's just that time of year. A lot of times it might be cold where you are. Or if it's not cold, you feel cold because people in cold climates keep talking about how cold it is. And you say, you're harshing my Hawaii mellow here. And I'm enjoying myself in the islands. And here you are prattling on about,
all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. I've been for a walk on a winter's day.
Stopped into a church. I passed along the way. Oh, I got down on my knees. And they said, we don't do that here. This isn't the kneeling kind of Christianity. Please, sir, stand up, stand up. Also, it's an Orthodox shul. Sorry, man. No, it's cool. You're fine. Oh, you're fine. I understand that it's cold, that it's cold. Would you like some soup? No, I'm good. I'm gone. I'm out for a walk, I'll let you walk. All right, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. Oh, please tell me your name, please tell me your name. My name's Rabbi O'Brien, please don't ask. All right, man, I will see you. Okay, cool, my name is Hardy White, Hardy White. The reason that why are you singing so much?
I don't understand sometimes, and I feel this way if I go to I like to sing. That's why I like other people's holidays, and they always say, let us lead. Let us take the lead. They always tell you this at every protest I've gone to, they go, hey, it's not about you. I go, when will it be? Not that it's fine, but should I just come alone one day? I was thinking, I was just going to march down the street. What are you protesting for today? Because today it's me. And I don't mean to be selfish or anything, but it's not going great over here. So I'm going to just be, and I realize other people got it worse, but again, I'm not taking over their protest. I'm just having my own here on a free day. And, or I think I might just attach it to a St. Patrick's Day or something. Nobody would even notice. Just another person of Irish descent with problems, they would say, and say, I'm all right. Not that much. Hey, I don't know what, you don't have to celebrate. I don't want to celebrate, I feel left out. Indeed, that's the default feeling of mankind, is feeling left out. Feeling left out of everything, this temporary existence. We are thrust into the world. Oh, anyone who has it figured out, bless you. Tell me what your secret is.
Oh, gladly.
No, don't. Change my mind. Don't tell me. You're all too eager to. But let me tell you something I've learned. Sometimes the answer that we're looking for is in a cup. Not a cup of booze or a cup of a sample of some sort of an animal, their secretions or something that you're transporting for the zoo. So could you take this to the lab? And you go, what is it? And they go, and you go, oh, good God. They go, man, we need it for research. Not that. You know, we often don't know what's in our cup. And I was reading the other day, it was in it was some kind of article about the late Larry Fine, one of the Three Stooges. And it said in his youth, he had been reaching for a cup of poison. He thought it was his drink. And he was reaching for this cup of poison. And his father, or one, slapped it out of his hand. But it was acid. That's what it was. He was reaching for acid. He almost drank acid. I don't know why it was laying around the house. People used to use it for something. I don't know. Jazz. Or something we don't do much anymore. And then it burned his hand. And so he took up violin. Something like that. It had something to do with the arc of his career that he had this burn. Then he maybe couldn't do something. But what I thought immediately is, oh my God, that's a gag. That's an ongoing gag in The Three Stooges, is you set down your paint inexplicably is in a coffee mug that says like world's greatest dad. And your coffee is in, I don't know, a paint can. So you reach for the, I just drank some paint, and you drink the wrong thing. Who hasn't put two different things next to one another? Somebody on the comment board is like, I brushed my teeth with Preparation H once. Well, that's true. That tube, you can do the same thing, but with tubes. Because they would put toothpaste in the same thing they put in that salve that calms your butt tissue, you're alarmed, you're angry. Hemorrhoidal tissue. I don't know why they have different. Why does it have to be a different tissue? The rest of the tissue in my body, we're going to get one that gets, it gets swell, it swells up if you exert. Well, I guess your biceps do that. Are your hemorrhoids like just like biceps? I've been using my butt so much that look like, let me flex for you. No, I'm good. No, that's not what it is at all. I don't want to give you medical advice that's wrong. Oh, my goodness. And at Christmas, why are you discussing hemorrhoids? If they weren't in the Bible, I wouldn't have brought them up. But they are in the Bible, and they're a curse. It's if you steal the ark. I don't know why that didn't come up in... I've actually read the Bible. I don't know. I'm so sorry. I apologize. People like that are insufferable. And there's not many of them. And when they find you, they will imprison you. They go, hey, don't let anybody know. I hope AI didn't read it. We're doomed. Because it might, like, oh, I got the message, right? So here, listen to me. Or don't. No, bless you. I'm so ashamed that I said that. What a bullying thing to say. Don't listen to me, is what I meant to say. I beg your pardon. Oh, sometimes you get full of yourself if you're in the middle of saying something. And I was about drinking cups and drinking things and the warmth. But let me get back to my original point, was that sometimes you're looking for something. And that something could be in a cup, a warm cup, not alcohol. Have I said this before? Go back. What page am I on? But something like a warming drink. What's a tea you like? I don't like a lot of teas, to be honest. I do like tea, rather, but it doesn't always like me. What do you mean? Well, have you ever been to a tea ceremony where the tea master got really angry and pulled out their katana? And said, whoa, what did I do wrong? And they you missed the part where you're supposed to compliment the scroll. So that's one reason I don't drink tea. It's like, I forgot, I'm so sorry. I was thinking, oh, it's a beautiful scroll. I should have said it at the appropriate time in the tea ceremony. So a lot of times I don't drink tea because it's too caffeinated. And then there's those herb teas. Now I'm convinced that most of the herb teas that you see in the grocery store are medicine. And I know this. It's like what you're looking at is basically a 50s Chinese pharmacy, is what I think. And I say, what's wrong with you today? And they go, well, that, you know, it says it's sleepy time, but oh, that's our, you know, that's for if you have dysphagia. I don't want to say a proper disease because I don't want anybody to feel left out if I don't say their disease. And a lot of times you'll accidentally say them if you have initials. If you've ever had an organization, you go, I think we're going to call it this. And you go, oh, no, you can't. That's a degenerative disease. And you go, well, that's kind of appropriate. But no, you need to pick. Band names, this happens. Oh, my goodness. You cannot. The other day, I was looking at, what's his name, Stover. Smokey Stover, which is an old cartoon from the 30s. And Smokey Stover had a lot of puns and wordplay and weirdness in it. And a lot of times there'd be little signs in the Smokey Stover panels, and they would have cliches on them, and one of the words would be replaced by foo. I've said this before, so like silence is foo, you know, a foo in the hand is worth two in the bush, that kind of thing. And then other nonsense jokey sayings. And one of them, I think, was something like 1506 Nick's Nick's. And another was, I can't remember, oh, I wish I could recall, I wish I had made notes. But I was thinking, oh, other than Foo Fighters that got their name from this, they think they got it from the World War II pilots or something, but the origin is this. So he was Foo Fighter, was his name. So the Foo Fighters band, that name's come. But there's other bands that have taken their names from Smokey Stover. Isn't that interesting? So you can just go back. This is a band idea name I'm giving you now for Christmas. Is you go back and get a catchphrase. This has been, everyone's already done this, but a lot of these people have died already. Get a catchphrase and use that. It's already been proven, you know, by there's in the future. You know how many bands are called 6-7 something in the future once all these children are 50? It's just a, you know, I'm going to come and grow up and I'll call my band 23 Skidoo. You wonder what the other Skidoos didn't catch on. Like 23 Skidoo, is that the number? Because I remember a lot of 22 Skidoo was out there doing the talk show circuit going like, man, I missed it by one. Getting real mad. And a lot of people, I knew so-and-so. I wonder if I'd do that if my neighbor or something became real famous. They go, it could have been my house. You know, I could have been the serial killer. I'm real quiet. You know, I don't bother anybody. Why is it this guy? It's always somebody else. Oh, my goodness. I have a long white, it's not a long white beard, but I have a white beard. I have my beard right now is the length of shiftless royalty or aristocracy. You know, it's like people, now they're cleaning it up a little bit, but when Queen Elizabeth had a lot of, Queen Elizabeth was like a 90s rapper or some zeros, like they had a large posse of cousins that were dependent on the act for income. And so MC E2 supported all these cousins like Prince and Princess Michael. And anybody who calls herself Princess Michael, and this is true, is like, come on, cut these people loose. Anyway, I got like a Prince Michael beard, and a lot of times I'll have these white beards say, I look just like my great-great uncle, you know, Edward the Fifth, so don't forget me, please. But I have one of those. So right now I'm just Edward the Fifth or some shiftless Windsor, but I'd love to go to maybe Santa Letterman length. It used to be that. I had that. And then everybody had one of those long beards. And I was like, I love a lifelong appreciation of Michael Stipe. But now he looks like me. And I want to go, now I think I'll flip it and look like him. But I don't, even when I shave. So I've grown the beard back a little bit. and I'm not sure why exactly, because, well, especially the mustache, I have to flip out and kind of wax and get it away from my mouth. I don't want to trim it up too much. That looks kind of dumb. But as it is, every few bites, you bite yourself. And spiritually, I think that's a good thing. I like it. But it is starting to annoy me. And I got the point. I go, okay, right. I understand that with everything that we do to sustain ourselves, we consume ourselves. And that, you know, it'd be like chomp, chomp, delicious. Oh, memento mori. And there's enough in my life there that scratches that itch of mortality reminder that maybe I don't need this biteable mustache. The reason we say band name after things like that or that things that are non sequiturs is also as a gentle hint that perhaps your band is not necessary, especially moving forward. It's not that we don't need to, well, I want to express myself, but yeah, you don't have to do it with a guitar or anything. Like, why want a theater troupe? And let me tell you, I'll give you here's your first lesson in being a theater troupe. It's spelled differently than the other trooper. So you want to be a trooper, not a trooper. What do you mean? So there's a trooper that has one of those like Marine style hats on, right, with a chin strap.
He says, do you know why I pulled you over?
And they go, because you want to do like a Chekhov play? And you go,
no, I'm the other kind of trooper.
Fantastic. Whoops then. And then there's the other kind. And you know what's different? One of them has you in it. So that's what you should do, is go down to that and be a troop, in a troop, theater troop. And you can leave your guitar behind and all your pedals at home. And no one will be mad at you for doing that. It's going to be able to just show up, and you'll feel so liberated, too. You go, I'm here at practice. God, I feel so naked. And then you realize you are naked, and you're doing a bit, or you're doing O Calcutta or something. But no, you'll feel naked because you don't have your pedals or your guitar case and all the stuff that you worried about constantly and fussed over. And so, yeah, but that's how I avoided eye contact with people. Well, welcome to a new world. This is going to be great. The not wanting eye contact thing was becoming problematic on stage, to be honest with you. I'd come and see your shows. I adore you, and I love your music, and it's very catchy, and it does sound like the 80s. But what happens is you're looking at your feet the whole time, and I think that's because you've made all your controls I don't know, with foot control. They're all pedals. Now, understand that your hands are engaged with the guitar. But I'm proposing this. Why don't we just use our voice? And then those free hands, oh my gosh, those free hands you can use for anything. Keyboards, let's just leave the instruments home. And we're going to show up at the practice for the theater. Maybe we're going to do some improv. We're going to take improv classes, and I think it might go a little something like this. In what number should I start on? Anybody?
8.
8? Anybody else?
15.
15?
28.
I'm going to do 15. All right? Okay, here we go. In 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, and then my friend would come in and they'd riff on 11 like that. They go, oh, but don't steal other people's stuff. You go, oh, but those Scottish guys in the elevator saying 11. Don't do that. Think of something about 11 from your life and say, well, I remember when I was 11, what happened? Oh, I know, I was way too old to pee my pants, but I go, oh no, okay, save that. What's another 11? I think it was our address on Palm Court Circle Way. I go, okay, use that. And what happened when you were on Palm Circle Way? My grandfather died in the living room. Okay, let's go ahead and use that. Let's use that and improv that. Grandfather dies in the living room, and he is a name of profession.
Psychiatrist. Chiropractor.
He's a chiropractor, and he hurt himself trying to crack his own neck or something? I don't know. Let's move on. Here's a little exercise. We're not ready for improv. Okay, that's a little... Let's do just an exercise of being on stage and not feeling sick or having... or loosing our bowels or anything. And now this is, you think, well, what? But this can happen. Now, this is why a lot of people look at their feet or something. So let's just do an exercise right now. You're on, in a safe place with your radio or your computer. So you're not on stage right now, and you can do it. And if you have lots of stage experience, and you're like, brother, I take my clothes off in front of people, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you know, I don't not, okay. Well, if that's the case, then you don't need, you do it on stage or you do it on internet. It's different. So I'm just saying. So go do it on stage. I work for Disney. I go, okay. They don't know I'm nude because I'm in a costume. All right. So you stand here on the imaginary stage and you look out in the audience. Now pick, I don't know if you've ever been on an empty stage or something. You're visiting a friend, might work for, oh, my friend works for a famous theater, and he let me in there one time, and we went on stage, and we stood on stage and looked at all the empty seats, and it was still kind of intimidating, even though nobody was in the seats exactly. And then he took me backstage to where the big sandbags fall on people and kill them, and the big ropes, and then he showed me the dressing room where they filmed Killing of a Chinese Bookie. And then we went and we saw the basement where there was a person with scoliosis playing the organ. Oh, I don't know about that, but that is very similar to my experience, at least the stage part. And then imagine it's filled with people, so we're standing there. Is there a microphone? No. There's no microphone. It's not that. It's not a stand-up act you're doing. That's another thing. Instead of going to your stand-up act practice, oh, if only you were in a skit troupe. But you're not, are you? You're doing open mic stand-up. Don't do that. Do a skit. Be in a skit troupe or something like Fred Willard. Come on now. I love you. So now we're standing on stage. There's no microphone. I want you on a stage in my imagination. I close my eyes and I can see I'm on the stage. And I look up and I go, oh, there's a balcony. That's weird. And for a minute, I get a little acrophobic, even looking up. Like, oh, somebody come, oh my God. That's the noise. Who has acrophobia? Okay, tell me if this isn't an accurate representation of a noise you make sometimes if you've had to look up and it's, you know, see something, you know, a precipice. You're like, ha, 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 ha. I don't know what it is exactly. That's looking down. Ha, ha, ha. It depends where your head is what, so the throat sound changes. But it's usually, why I'm terrified. I'm always terrified of something happen outside of our control. And yet, all of life is outside of our control. Control might be an illusion. Do you ever think about that when you're driving your car and you go, in many ways, my actions at the steering wheel are a mere serving suggestion, aren't they? And go, it'd be nice if we went this way. It doesn't always obey, you know, mechanical things. And now, a lot of that is largely out of our hands as our cars drive themselves and our butts wipe themselves. That's been going on for a while. I don't mind that so much, the bidet. Bidets have been around, they've been around so long they have a French name from when the French were in charge. That's how you can tell something's old. But if it's newer, then it will have a newer sounding, maybe an English name, or past that is you get a transliterated Chinese name that sounds like an English word. Now, once everything is done for us, and you can just sit back and you can have free time, well, what would you do then? Now, the parodists have always told you, you will have machines do your hobbies. You'll have them do your reading for you. All your free time They're going to have, the machines are going to have a fun time. They're going to be going on vacations for you. In fact, I would be more for that. Like, it would be great if the cruise ships just had robots on them. Just robots. And we tolerated them a bit. Maybe we could sell them straw hats when they came into the ports. But robots would be, I don't know, kind of waste. It's like, oh, they're dumping all this nickel into the water. Who knows? But just a cruise ship of nothing but robots. And it might go a little something like this. Oh, Gopher. Go, Gopher. That's my Captain Steubing robot shorting out. And I brought that character to the original Saturday Night Live back when it was before TV, when it was just part of vaudeville. And so, say, we're going to have you in the cast. And I go, say, let me give you, can I think about it? And they go, no, it doesn't work that way. There's too many people interested. And I went, okay, pass. And that's my story. So now I'm not in show business, but I'm here for you. Oh my gosh, on the radio. By a crackling fire. I know, part of me, I wonder if I decided to go with the crackling fire sound effect or not. I don't know at this point. Isn't that interesting? And you're going, yeah, you did. You started it at the, you know, at the 5-minute mark or something. I go, good for me. What else did I do? Oh, put in some fun things. Part of radio. And the tradition, as I understand it, of radio is those little kind of non sequitur things or fun little, wow, that was unexpected and wacky. Wacky. Radio used to be like that, a lot of that. Hey! And when people have done, not so much anymore, I guess, and I don't know where that sort of wacky has moved, probably to homes for the elderly, because it's probably a generational thing. We believe when we're doing generational fads that we are participating in a cutting-edge movement, that something has changed, that's the age of cubism or something like that, and then this is some stylistic, enlightenment, and that's going to last or something. Nobody ever thinks that, oh, this is, we're in the middle of another fad. This is all just us being fascinated with something temporarily. And I do believe it's because of the generational mixing. There might be just too much of it. And I think we all you move to a different country or something. So I don't know if that would work. Because I feel like the country run by the 0 to 10 kids, it'd be fun, but I don't know. I think they'd be getting a lot of foreign aid, you know, from the older countries. But I don't know where I'd be living now with other... So in the beginning, I'd be in... oh, God, if it was just a decade. Oh, God, I'd be in the worst... I think I'd be in the worst 60 to 70 country. Oh, God. Oh, my God. What if I had to be around other people my age? I am often, and it's fine. But I like visiting other countries, and it's that's wonderful. I go, a lot of the younger countries have better energy. More goes on there, you know. And, I mean, they're trying it with the villages. Say, what if we just had a country that's an age? And I go, that's a joke that I do. So I don't know, but bless you, go for it. I mean, I guess older people always been trying to isolate themselves. Young people do it by having bouncers. I guess you go, wait a minute. You know, I can come in here. I'm a movie star from the 70s. All right. But other than that, you have to be, your hair is so dark, sir. Is it a wig?
No, it's not a wig. It's dyed.
Okay. I don't look my age. I look my age, but I look a lot of ages, all of them older. So that's nice, too. It's like, oh, you could be any age, starting here and going to all the way up to Burt Mustin 90-something. God bless. It'd be nice. Wouldn't it be nice to be blessed with one of those faces where you look like you're on the edge of death at middle age, and then you have an acting career? You have a character acting career for decades? Because you always look like, wow, that guy looks so gaunt and old, and which is his nose looks like a mummy. And then you're fine. You're really perfectly healthy. It's just physiognomy. But the physiognomy propels you not to fame, but that level of reputation that allows you to sustain yourself just by appearing and saying,
ah, you young people,
like that. It'd be a lovely way of life, I think. I'd love to do that. And but there's part of me that looks young. Part of me looks like I've got a beard on and I'm pretending to be old. This is why I don't go to the gym, because I look very much like the young people who are secretly strong, who glue on a beard and then pretend that they're hunched over and their back hurts. But then they go, oh, you're going to lift 500 pounds. And they go, dude, I can't barely lift anything. And they don't believe you. So that's a curse, really, is that I look like, you know, an older Anatoly or one of those, the Instagram or Chick-fil-A video stars. Oh my gosh, what a world. I don't really live in that world. I mean, I live at that time, but I'm still, my gosh, I've still got my daguerreotype business. And bless you all in the age of digital photography, but I'm still doing tintypes, and I don't mind. My goodness. And the reason is because there's one of you or two or more that are listening to my voice right now on an old-timey radio. The speaker is about as big as silver dollar. It's silver dollar sized, and you've got it up to your ear, and there's an antenna, and you say, it's coming in. Sometimes it comes in, and I can hear Hardy's voice like that coming through the darkness, coming through the clouds and through the buildings, and here he is. And we're together visiting, and yet he's made of pure energy. And that's here I'm going to sample some pure energy, like that, like old samples from, what am I thinking? Like from movies and everything. A movie where mad scientist goes like something like, turn it on, pure energy, like that. And put that in there. And I think that'd be fun. And I'm gonna try to remember to do that. But if I don't, at least I told you about it. And now if I don't do the samples, you know that this is where they go, and you could do them yourself. That's a bit like painting by numbers. Say, I'd love to sell you a done painting, but there's no reason that you can't take it home and finish it in your oven. So these are called half-baked ideas. And you can, to this day, you can go to your grocer's freezers and purchase a loaf of bread that's only half done. And then you finish it. And the brand is called Pepperidge Farms. You finish it! Like that. And it's got three exclamation points. I get they had this real temperamental baker. And that you'd be like, Leon, is the bread ready yet? So they just like, you know what? Forget it. Every time he does that, let's pick it up off the floor, stick it in a bag, put it in the freezer, and say, hey, put this in your oven for the rest of the, what has it got, 10 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go? Do it on that end, you know? And then they realized, well, that's better anyway in a way, because you get it hot, and then you can slice it. Not as evenly, but, you know. And I think that a lot of times that if we do things ourselves, especially entertainment, you have become dependent, first on novels. I went back in time and I wrote many a screed against the novel, one of them in novel form, to be ironic. And then it became this music and everything, and then coffee, and then radio, and then television. And y'all, but so I've always been saying, hey, the movies was the worst. Movies you have become dependent on more than cigarettes or automobiles. It is an industry that is larger than the fragrance industry or pornography. Can you imagine that? And it all has to do with these movies, and we're just hooked on them because that's what we need to be distracted and entertained by. Now, if you have a society and one of their main products is we create a distraction from a harsh society, then don't you think that they would be in cahoots with the harsh society interests as a way of bolstering each other's business? So if somebody is selling you an escape, it must mean that you're in prison. So ask yourself, what am I escaping from? And what if I had this thing from which I didn't want to escape? What if my life was the movie? What if I was living a thing that made kind of bored, discouraged, neurotic, sedentary types want to sit there and watch me? It's possible, you know. Life can become so engaging that it does occupy your every thought. Now, sometimes when that happens, it's dangerous. My goodness, I can tell you right now, if you want to be entertained, you could go to sea by yourself in a very small sailboat, and you would be living an adventure of cinematic proportions. Take a CGI tiger with you, and you elevate it to the next level. And by a CGI tiger, I mean trip. You know, go out there, do it, but on heavy drugs. And see then if you can. Oh, then you won't need any entertainment. So the last thing I need right now is like severance. You know, more I need gum or tea. You know what's a good tea? Is a soba cha. It's a soba like in the noodles, right? Buckwheat. Yes, I'm using the Japanese. I think other languages have other words for it, like buckwheat tea. Exactly. So it's roasted buckwheat tea. You take it and make it like tea. Anything can be tea that can be soaked, and then the soaking's drunked up. Not really? It doesn't mean all teas are good. That's what I was saying earlier. So soba tea is really nice, and it's very nutty, and I love it. And it doesn't have any caffeine in it, no more than would noodles. And I don't think it has. It might. I don't think it has calories unless you start munching on the rehydrated buckwheat, which I often do. I go, it's kasha or something. My friends, as we approach another year, too. I know I'm getting ahead of me and you. I'm getting ahead of all of us. Getting right. If it's, let's pretend Christmas has already been. It's already been Boxing Day. We're bruised and beaten from that, from Boxing Day. Oh, my gosh. And the way it all started was that Curly, I'm watching a lot of Three Stooges again, and I'm trying to watch them in order. And by far, for Curly, a running gag that they duplicated like almost immediately after, it was like in the third one, and then they did it again in like fifth or sixth. So Curly has this thing where he gets triggered into violence, into like just a fit. And I'm not going to diagnose him, that I, you know, but there are things that set him off into an uncontrollable rage where he just starts punching. I know the sound. I don't. It's just a fact. This is something they did. And then they need to calm him. Now, the thing that triggers him can be the song Pop Goes the Weasel, a fragrance, like not lilac, but something like that. Hyacinth, maybe. A mouse. So all these things trigger him. The smell of flowers, a mouse, the song, Pop Goes the Weasel. And then it takes something to calm him. usually the smell of cheese, but the cheese often changes, especially for the mouse, it's cheese. I'm not sure the other things. See, what was happening is that they understood that Curly had this neurological problem, and they were using it to trigger his violence so that he could use it to compete and to box. So they put him in a boxing ring. They would subject him to his trigger. This is, I know. And then he would, you know, and he would punch and flail. And then in the more compassionate episodes, they would calm him with either Roquefort or Limburger. And now Roquefort has the same effect on me. I feel it's very calming. But it's a blue cheese from Western France, from Roquefort. And it's delicious, often sort of salty, pungent, ewe's milk cheese. And what do you mean like that? Is to get the milk from my Brooklyn dairy? No, EWE, like the sheep. They milk a sheep, which is, you've been milking sheep. How do you know? Your hands, they smell like lanolin. So that's how you know a lot of times that people have been milking sheep. I would love to. I do like ewe's milk cheese, and you should too. I'm not trying to pun. My goodness. I don't know about wearing wool and eating ewe's milk cheese. I think that would be fine because neither one of them, you don't have to kill the animal. You shave it, and the other, I think it's probably like humans. So you drink the mother's milk, but you also... you're getting hair on you, probably, somehow. And that's a memory back. Say, I liked, I remember that. Now I want to wear wool and eat blue cheese. And I think it's because of my mom. I remember my mom holding me. And she had long hair, like, was it Crystal Gale? One of them, Cher. Big long black wig, and they don't know what to call it. Is it a Cher wig, a Crystal Gale wig? There's your first line for your rap song. I think about things like this. See, this is the don't do your stand-up. Go ahead and call in sick now. But it's an open mic. Go ahead and just let them know you're not going to be there. I do that with all open mics. I think that was a gag on, that's a Flight of the Conchords gag. You know how easy that is to steal other people's jokes? I think he called in and said they weren't going to be at the open mic. Yeah, that I remember that. Here, I just stole somebody's joke. But I didn't. I just did a cover because I credited them. So when you sit down and you go, oh, this is a Bob Dylan song? I guess it's okay then. I guess that makes it okay? No, it doesn't. But if I don't do any covers, well, then you'll have to do your original songs. But they suck and no one wants to hear them. I just saved you so much time and energy. Now you don't have to leave the house. Now you can do some. Now you can remodel your kitchen like you wanted to and you should. Oh, bless you. Maybe it doesn't need remodeling. Maybe you don't. Or maybe you do. If you do, I hope that I have touched your heart today. That is my holiday wish to you. I would like to, if it were light, if it's Hanukkah, white more than one heart. All those hearts are a miracle. And light, I take my shamish heart, and I light the other heart candles, and bring light into the world, and victory and power to the Maccabee family and defeat of their enemies on the battlefield. No, that is that part of Hanukkah? I don't know. The Maccabees, I think, are my Scottish family. Oh, bless your Christmas time. I wish you tidings of the Christmas tree we get from the we mix the cultures of Christmas, of worshiping large elves, but some European countries say, well, we worship the tree. So we'll take your tree and our elf worship, and because we have like giant gnomes and stuff in pajamas that we worship. And I guess it was Saint Nick had the original pawn shop. Do you know about this? So there was a song. I don't mean to be. I know there's children listening. I just try to disguise. So it was a song called "Hitler's Got One Ball" or something like that. Well, Santa Claus has three, Saint Nick, and you will see if you go to pawn shops today, you will see that out there, and that's a great place to get your. Because you can take somebody else's misery and turn it into joy. So you go there, you get something they sold for drugs or to pay for medical bills. You take it and you reappropriate it for something for joy. And you give it to your friend as a gag gift. Their cherished item. And there you have. And then you bring more joy into the world that way. And I hope I've done it for you. I'm just kidding. Oh, my gosh. Why is humor, it's dark. Life is dark and light at the same time. It's the contrast, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. I love you, but I don't hate you for balance because I feel like everything else is, a lot of other people have that covered for you. So I love you, and I think you're worthy. I want you to keep living in this world. There's no wrong way to do it, no matter what they tell you. Keep going. If you just stay alive out of spite, if you must, but it's great. Saying I'm gonna keep going, just so I can go release gas in an elevator. So not my own gas. I make it. I'm not cruel. Hey friends, I love you, and I want to wish you. I know it's just the middle of the month or so. I don't want to make the show not evergreen, but come on. I'm a firm believer that if Lucille Ball had made every episode a Christmas episode, that they wouldn't have removed the Christmas episode from syndication. I know, you're right. That's so profound. I love you. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. It is always a pleasure to be with you, and I will see you again next week.
feel? Huh?
Look, you can stay or you can pounce, but this is how I feel.
Yeah, all right, whatever.